Blog Talk Radio.
We just gonna let that keep pimping in the background. This is real talk, real entertainment. I am one of the DJs that run this show. I'm DJ Monk. And then I also have...
G to the R to the X.
We got a little love thing going, G to the R to the X. How you feel?
Oh, yeah, I'm not
back to remember. Yeah, man. Rest in peace, Gato Barbieri. From, I believe, Argentina. And this is, he is playing actually one of our favorites from high school, Carlos Santana's Europa. And I was there with you at that high school dance when they played that right after Manuel Rodarte did his dance. Do you remember that dance? You remember that entrance? You remember that entrance?
Well, look, that was grandstanding at its finest.
Wow. Does anybody remember the pompadour? Oh, my goodness.
He had his pompadour up on high. And he
wow. They don't wear the pompadours like they used to. I mean, dog.
No, they don't rock the nut like that. No more.
They don't rock that nut like that. Even the blacks had them. You had pompadours and shags with a flat top. That was the press. Well, we ain't going to do nothing but get prettier and older. So at the end of the day, you know, that's why we had to slow it down, GRX.
Sometimes you got to slow it down.
Yeah, this is real talk, real entertainment. We want to know. Will Nick Young and Iggy Azalea make it? We want
to
know.
And
he lost that $1 million quadruple carat engagement ring, because as you know, that always goes with the woman.
Yeah, it ain't no get back.
So he can't just go out and buy another $4 million ring, because he ain't married yet.
Well, you know what? He could go out and buy another $4 million ring, but I don't think she's going to take it. She won't want to. She's going to have to be like Kobe, just go buy the family some Benzies and go get her a $10 million ring. And I don't think his pockets are that deep, Claire.
Well, of course not, brother. His pockets ain't that deep. He's trying to figure out if he's going to have some pockets in the future. I think that the grand issue with this case and so many, again, is if social media has outlived its usefulness and just basic friend-to-friend or so-called friend-to-friend or family-to-family interactions.
It's putting a damper on, bro. Because anytime you do now get your homeboys or your teammates, which you don't like your family, filming and then willing to put it out there in the public, when playing football, baseball, basketball, and all the sports, the locker room is a tight-knit unit. And you don't try to break that up because that's what you build to win.
On the street.
And so I can't see the Lakers keeping Mr. Russell and Swaggy P on the same team. I can't see that.
Well, Swaggy P was on the short list anyway, but I think that this situation exposes a core of long-term drama in the Laker locker room. I'm not going to get back into Kobe Shaq years, but whatever's going on in the hate envy department in the Laker organization, they need to address that from management. And they need to eradicate all of that. And they need to get to a proper perspective where these young folk know what boundaries mean. Boundaries. Okay?
You know, I think what happens too, though, just to cut you off, I think what happens too is when we put these young men in grown men situations, they act like children that they are. And so they do childish things. And here we go. We got Russell, who's what, a 18, 19, maybe 20 at most, doing something childish. So what a 20-year-old or a high schooler or a young college student would do.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. He's not the first to come in so young. Kobe came in young, but his actual ignorance didn't show until his mid-20s. So, you know...
Yeah. If you think about it, even in his mid-20s when he showed, he was doing some shit long before that. And I think the Laker organization just kept it all under wraps.
Well, I don't...
You hanging out with Shaq.
Come on, bruh.
Stars, you gonna do what the stars do.
Yeah, but come on. We grew up in the city long before Kobe got here. Or Shaq. And we was at the same clubs that they ended up blowing up long before they got there. And we knew the same DJs long before they came to town. We go back to the party. We go back to the movement. And at the end of the day, some things you can get away with. Some things you can't. But, you know, a man's business is a man's business. And when you run it, you know, 3, 4, 5 deep with your partners and sometimes your homegirls with them too. You know, I mean, you know how crews work now. You know, you may have your partners that's hardcore. And then you got a couple of females that's as harder or hard as your partner. And then y'all going to and everybody living a life doing some things. Either it's a descent in behavior or you're living a dream. It depends on your view of your view.
Whether you're on the top or the bottom.
Or in a simple analysis, why do you need this extra bit of attention from DeAndre Russell's perspective? Why does he need this? I mean, obviously it wasn't thought through, but why do you even need to create this fun? Is it just a core self-destructiveness?
Well, I think we're dealing with a lot of young men in grown men situations that if they're not mentored or if they're not willing to be mentored, you get these kind of situations.
Yeah, and I'm going to say again, we're going to pray for them, and we're going to pray that they send us our bins because they can afford it. And since we're the only one praying for y'all that we know, other than y'all mamas, make sure my bins is silver and black, and GRX get whatever the hell he wants. Okay.
Yeah, silver and black is really nice.
Yeah. I got to have some Raider on mine. Now, in terms of positive basketball, I told you Villanova would seem like they had this. As soon as the tip-off, I felt like, I don't even need to watch this no more. This game can go back and forth. But Villanova don't have no quit to their game. And the way they won that was like Steph Curry and the Warriors.
I just believe that they were doing this. They were in that zone from, like you said, the coach had them ready. You know what I'm saying? The coach had them so ready that it was ridiculous. He was probably holding them back. You know, when they got out there, they just played good, solid basketball, man. They played good, solid, solid basketball.
And they never...
Good movement, good open shots.
And even with the early foul trouble...
Play for the other player. If you watch out, they would set screens, tricks, and go diving after ball, loose balls. That's a player playing not for himself, but for his other dudes that's out there winning. And again, when your locker is tight, you have a chance of winning.
I say that even with the early foul problems that Villanova had with some of their key players, there was no quit to their game. They basically kept readjusting. They never let this game get way past them. And even if it got upwards 10 points on North Carolina's side, you just know that Villanova's about to just start a game again and go ahead. And this kept going on and off, on and off, on and off through the first half and then certainly through the second half. And the way that they won suggests to me that, you know, it was nothing but poise and excellence. And like I told you earlier, it looked like that random play was a design play. And then you told me it was a design.
It was, very much so. It's just like when you know played basketball than I did. I mean, I got into the basketball thing later with my son playing the sport. But if you're a good coach, you design a play that, one, that you practice probably 100 times in practice, and you know the ability of your players. And again, they trusted each other. That was the beautiful thing about it all. They trusted each other down the stretch. They didn't panic. They didn't waver for what they were taught to do. And they won. I mean, I just, it was a great game.
Yeah, that part right there. It was a great game. It was good to see Villanova win. For the first time since you and I were in right out of high school, 85, I was a sophomore in college. And I remember when they won then, because up until that point, it was Kansas and Duke every damn year. I'm sick of that.
Yeah, well, once you've been young, you can get all the better players, you know what I'm saying? And so there you go there.
Now, what's up with the coach, though, dog? What's up with the Villanova coach, GRX? Not to cut you up. What's up with that Villanova coach? I mean, he looks like he should be in Hollywood. He looks like George Clooney's better-looking brother.
You know what? I'm going to go back to what my daddy taught me. You got to look the part. You know what I'm saying? You got to look the part. You think sometimes you got to fake it until you make it. And my man looks the part of a professional coach. Not just a college coach, but a professional coach. His goal was probably to be in the NBA. And he knows he needs to look the part. He can't come out there looking crazy or acting crazy. He's got to put on a good show for that next level. And I think he's trying to get himself to the next level. And in doing so with the victory, he should propel himself to the next level as long as with his players. Because a lot of people didn't realize Villanova had some decent players.
Yeah.
It wasn't expected to be to go all the way. They wasn't.
They wasn't even supposed to be in the damn thing.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. They wasn't even... It was like an afterthought.
Oh,
who knows when I was the first one
to do it? I mean, dude, I heard it since March Madness jumped off. And sometimes with me, I get tired of the pundits and these radio sports announcers and these TV and ESPN is on everything, and so is Fox. They just got to go with their opinions and their lack of hope analysis. I mean, these young people want to win, and they have the opportunity to ball up the first time in their life. They've never gotten here. They've been there in over 30 years. Come on, bro.
And like I said, you know, the coach had them ready, bro. The coach, their system had been ready. I'm not going to say the coach. Their system had been ready. And that's all the assistant coaching. That's down to the water boy. They was ready for a victory.
They look so good, I thought they could beat the Lakers.
Well, I think as dysfunctional as the Lakers are, they just may well could.
Well, at least Kobe's going out with the best that he can get and everything's looking good. Now, did you hear that, and we're going to get off of the basketball, but did you hear Allen Iverson, I think Shaq, Cheryl Swoop, Chow Ming, and I can't think of the other couple of players that are being slowly drafted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I agree with the choices. You know, I agree with Shaq going. I agree with Scoots going. She played a tremendous amount of basketball for the WNBA. Iverson, of course. I mean, he put Philly on the map early on the basketball world. I mean, because they was down in the dump before they got that kid. And I'm not calling him, I'm going to say the kid because that's what he got. He was a kid.
Well, hold up, y'all. He didn't put him on the map. He already was on the map. They had,
he put him on the map. He didn't put him on the map, but he brought him back. How about that? Because at that time, before Iverson got there, Philly was like, who was Philly?
He got there after Barkley left, didn't he?
Yeah, way after Barkley,
and Barkley did a damn good job trying. But Barkley never had all the support he needed, and that's why he don't have a ring.
Right, exactly. And I just think that he deserves it. And he deserves it for a lot of other reasons. I mean, he deserves it for bringing hip-hop into the NBA. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hold up. I knew that was gonna come into this, and I didn't want to say. Do you know the name of the record?
Yes.
41 bars or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know that record is very, very rare. I have it, and I had cases of it, unsealed. I also had, at the same time, all this just came out in the same damn near month, the famous Kobe rap. I had Brian Shaw on wax. I had all of the NBA players that got in the studio on that side. Also, Kobe Bryant rap was on the backside of the first 50 Cent record, which nobody wanted. And you know how much they were? Woo-wee! There's a few laying around this motherfucker, I'm telling you. There's a few laying around here. Okay, but yeah, he didn't bring hip-hop to the NBA. What he did was he came in on a wave of I'm hip-hop first, NBA second, and all the tattoos, all the praise, all the attitude, all the parties, okay, and he was also doing that on the back of, and let's be honest here now, because I'm going to tell you about the game, the pimp game, okay, folks like Dominique from Atlanta. You know, they already had established strip clubs and all that on, and you know what I'm saying? So the early hip-hop game was moving into the worldliness, and Allen Iverson just came in right away, and he really did it effectively. I don't think he got a ring.
No, he never got a ring because he had to go up against Lakers and Kobe and Shaq, and they beat him in six. They beat him in Philly, matter of fact.
Yeah, that was still a hard game because the Lakers should have lost that series.
Because the first game that they played, Philly won the first game here in L.A., and then after that, they kind of got their ass together and started to put the smash down.
Okay. Well, TRS, I guess we just been talking with the music in the background like we just every day on our conversation on a personal level. Let us take a break.
Not
break, Griffin. I want to keep talking NBA. Because actually, with Blake Griffin coming back, and they are ready for the playoffs, they look good. Okay,
I'm still saying this, and I know I'm going to have a lot of people saying, Blake is trading, Blake could be going to Durant. He could be out of here, you know what I'm saying? And I think that with his action, with him not again, being, I'm not saying that he's a youngster, but acting like he's a youngster and doing something silly to jeopardize not only his team,
Well, they all end up doing something silly and stupid in L.A. Kobe, Shaq, all of them. So even Magic, even Kareem, they all do, even Word. You know what I'm saying? So at some point, you know, it's all a learning experience for a young man, black man, or white man, or pink man, a green man, that come into a lot of money, a lot of responsibility on him. And if you're not ready, the season ain't going to be ready for you to mature because we only brought you here for basketball. Now, G. Eric, we better take a break. Otherwise, we're going to be talking till tomorrow. So let's take this break right now because we got a couple other issues. We still ain't did our top 10 music, and I'm surprised. Bill's results were like crazy to me when I saw it. And so when I come back, I'm going to get into the top 10 Billboard, and then DRX is going to get into the top films. And we got a lot to say about that. But we only got 7 minutes, so we're going to be yelling. All right? Hold on. Well, folks, the damn break is over. It took 15 seconds. Now, this is the thing that all y'all get, because me and GRX got something to damn say. And we upset to say, because we couldn't say it last week because I was too busy running into shit. Anyway, on Jesus, we're here today. Now, can you believe this? Rihanna is still at number one with Work. This is, hey, I you know me, bro. I'm big in the music and promotions and production, and I work for every label and talk to everybody. I know everybody. Okay, but at the end of the day, for her to be up there this long suggests that she has a serious ear. Number two is 7 years, Luke Graham, who was number two last week, moving up as no taking Trainer from 6 to 3. That's a huge jump. Pillow Talk Zane last week was at 8, now they're at 4. So everything's moving. Justin Bieber's moving down from 3 to 5. Love yourself.
You gotta come down to
Yeah, okay, look at what's moving down. Flo Rida, My House, he was at 4 last week. He's at 6 now. Stressed Out, 7. They were at 5. They're dropping 2 points at a time. They're 21 pilots, okay? Down to 8 from 7, Me, Myself, and I, G-Eazy, Bayberry, and Rexha, okay? And moving up from 10, I Took a Pill in Ibiza, Mike Posner, moving up from 12 to 10, Work From Home, Fifth Harmony, featuring Ty Dolla $ign. Now, I think that's what you're saying is major shit. You're seeing shifts, but when it comes down to if you listen to these songs and what gets you tapping your toes and moving your little butt, those are the ones that always at the top and ain't moving. And I think
moving, and that's what they should be doing. I think Rihanna has the song that everybody can relate to in some form or fashion. And if they work in the NBA, they work in the NFL, they work in the city street, it's just a catchy tune. That's what she desires to be at number one, is 92 for catchiness.
Amen. So what you got going on the film side?
On the film side, we got the number one is Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Number two comes in as Utopia, that's the animation. Number three is My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, which is a long time coming. Number four is God's Not Dead 2. And number five is Miracles from Heaven. A notable drop, but still in top 10, is Deadpool at number 10. And the major drop, actually, is Star Wars. And that's only because it came out on video. It's at number 14, but it still has grossed the most money out of all everybody on the list there at $9 million sales.
Now, did you see the drop? TRX, did you see the drop in Batman sales? I mean, it went from like a couple of hundred million a week ago to like, oh, nah, bro, we ain't giving that. What? Are the critics and the public, they love it, but they don't love it that much?
I think what it is, I think they love it, but we're over intimidated. Again, in the top 10, you got two Batman and Deadpool, which are DC Comics. We're getting beat over the head with it, you know what I'm saying? And then if you're a real fan, you're a little skeptical when you go to see the movie because it's not the way the comic book has laid it out, and it's not like the dynamic novels that they've written about it. So you got a little flux in there.
What's wrong with the storyline? Like I told you, I read the original comic book, okay? When the fight...
They don't make Batman as dark as he should be. Batman was a killer. He was a vigilante. He wasn't trying to put people in jail. That part of what we see is him trying to do, put people in buildings in jail, that was in the 60s. This ain't what's really going on in the comic books.
But
Batman
is
a killer.
Hold up, G. I'm as knowledgeable about the original of these superheroes as you. Batman early on was a bust as far like we define, but he was not with none of the right shit early on. I mean, from his when they wrote him into our consciousness, he was never originally right. And so part of the problem that I see when I read the original comic book in the 80s, Ed Dog had it. I don't remember if it was Jack Knight or White Edition, but I read it, and I was like, hey, Batman caused this bullshit. And now you got a divide that just went through all of the superheroes, and I think that the drop in sales reflects that folks don't like that type of funk with their superheroes.
Well, again, he's an anti-hero. I mean, anti-hero, where he's going to do negative things to be the hero. And when you're dealing with this, too, what they also did was make Superman a god. You know, like they said, Bat versus God.
No, Superman was not a god. He was a child of some actually super parents on their planet, but they never left the planet to use their powers. Because they encrusted him.
The yellow sun, the stronger he gets.
And because they encrusted him in that Krypton blanket, which became his cape, and they transferred him all the way here, they didn't know he was going to make it. That's how he gained his power. And staying away from what? What you just said?
Stay away from Krypton.
Stay away from Krypton. So you can't go back where you came from.
Right, and that's the whole base of the story. The very place that he wants to go back to anyway is destroyed, and that planet makes him weak. He's just an average guy on that planet with smart parents.
Okay, now hold on for a second. We got 90 seconds. And I want to resolve in these few seconds, should Keisha, who has a suit against Sony and Dr. Luke, settle the suit by recanting rape allegations that she will never be able to prove because she never filed anything. And the whole point of all of this exercise was she wanted out of her contract. They actually said they'll let her out. You just need to drop all your issues with us and say that. What should she do and what should she not do?
Drop those issues and walk. Because what she's going to do is tamper her labor, and nobody may want to pick her up.
Yeah.
Allegations.
Yeah. So if you got her...
Hurt your brand.
Yeah. She's actually self-destructive because she went to Twitter and was like, nah, hell no, I'm not doing none of that, and blah, blah, blah. But I think at the end of the day, if your original goal was to get out the damn contract so you wouldn't have to work with the buster that you said went to, wouldn't it be in your best interest to just, oh, Jesus, walk away, even if it happens? I'm done with this. I ain't got to go in there no more to deal with them, even if it happens. it would have been a better opportunity.
But even if it happens, you need to get away from it. And then you have an opportunity to get away from it without the rest of the noise and the headache and get away.
And she didn't do it, though, which suggests to me that she is part of her own problem. Now, GRX, you know what? We are out of time. And so we're going to ride on out with Dr. Balbieri. And you have a nice day, my brother. I will talk to you shortly.
All right, come on, people. Thank you.